Grant Avenue paving has been in the program, but the rest are new additions. I can show you a map of those coming up of the new additions. And then beyond those, we get into just our road needs, kind of our wish list of what we'd like to do if we had the money. Mm-hmm. So to give you an idea of the pavement age of a lot of our pavements, if they're shown in yellow, that means they're in the proposed program. PC pavements and HMA pavements, the PC pavements tend to last longer, so you'll see some older. We have one that's 1966, and those are the two that are getting done this construction season. Asphalt pavements are over here. We added a bunch of them into the program this year. Hickory Grove, that's a four-mile stretch around the lake. That's a bit of a challenge because that's a locally classified road, so we'll have to spend local dollars on that at some point. But that just gives you a general age of our pavements. Just talking in general numbers, annual pavement costs, what we need about $2 million a year just to maintain the pavement system we have right now. And what do we have available? About $900,000 in farm to market funds and about $520,000 in STP, which is the federal aid dollars. So without adding the local budget into it, we have about $1.4 million, and we need about $2.02 million a year to be spent on pavement. So at some point, it's going to catch up to us again. But the bonding really helped us out.
And right. We borrowed all said and done, the cost of the borrowing was, cost of the bonding was about $9 million, but I think you actually spent more like just over
7.4,
eight. 7.4, yeah. Yeah. And that's great. That caught us up, but now we got to make sure we don't get behind again.
Yep. Here's a map showing the yellow are the ones that were previously in the program, and the blue ones are the ones that were added. And these are all basically just overlays of existing asphalt pavements that are getting to that 20 to 25 year age.
With the exception of the one going north from Ames, right?
That would be new paving, correct?
Right.
That's been in the program previous years. And this shows the wish list items. These are not in the program, but just give an idea of the roads that we would like to pave if we had the funding available. City of Ames is helping out a little bit with the research park down here. They're going to pave some of University down south and add some actual roundabouts in there. So some of that will get paved. That will help in that area. But other than that, not a lot of change on the other one.
But how far south is that really going, that portion? I'm just trying to generalize.
I believe it's just like a quarter mile.
About a quarter mile from currently where it. The paving.
They had
now
extended it already when they finished the web filings, now Workiva building. They had done an original extension there of pavement, and now they're going to go, I think it's just over another quarter mile in this first phase in order to get down to that hub building.
Okay. There's a few homes there that it'll pave in front of, which would be nice for them for dust control purposes.
Actually shifting the road, right? The road is shifting just a little bit to the east now, and they're going to maintain the current road as right away as open area, but I think the whole road is going to shift just a little bit to the east.
Okay. And they recently annexed some more of the west side of the road, the Montebello area, so it was half and half. Now it's going to be mostly all city.
Well, and one developer is conducting a big study right now to figure out what to do with some of that property, trying to make sure that they develop housing for the kind of people it would draw, which would be basically the young professionals that would be working in the research park. But, Wayne, that's kind of an interesting study that they're taking on. What kind of amenities would you like to see? What kind of housing would you like to see? This is an area, South Ames and even south of there out in the county, that could get really interesting over the next several years.
Well, that is our paving needs. Any questions? I'm going to touch a little bit more on Grant Avenue paving because that is starting to come up. It's getting close to the point where we need to address a few things. It's currently in FY17. We need, in the area, I think the max amount we probably need is $150,000 to purchase the necessary right-of-way. And that needs to be done fairly soon if we're going to keep this in the FY17 construction year. because we have started the in-house design. We've got it surveyed and started the CAD work on that. But the right-of-way purchasing will be the next step. We didn't budget anything at this point in FY16 for that, but we could push it right to the edge of that, maybe have it in FY17, that $150,000. But it does not meet the paving point requirements. It only has 34 out of the 50 that the DOT requires. That's something the legislature kind of put into effect, so just to kind of keep counties from paving roads that aren't really necessary to pave. They do allow it if you hold a public hearing and get public input on that. So that's a step we'll have to take at some point. And I also noted we can also use that public hearing to approve the project and authorize use of condemnation to purchase the right-of-way. You have to do that up front. Even if you don't go through condemnation, you have to approve the project and approve that authorization before we can go out and even start buying right-of-way. And we may run into some issues out there in the, mm-hmm. in the past. We've had issues getting right-of-way for just the bike path, so that could be an issue. The roadway is now in the Ames MPO boundary, which includes the city of Gilbert. That's a change. What that does is the population now gets brought into the MPO so that federal money comes in and they get credit for the Gilbert money in Ames. That could open possible additional funding sources. MPO is going through this Mobility 2014 plan right now, and they have received a lot of comments about this road and adding it in to their plan. Not sure if that's going to happen or not, but Wayne, you're on the policy committee. Mm-hmm. Anything you can do to pass that word on that it's a need? It's Ames residents that are using this road to get right. up to Gilbert, so it makes sense to have it in a plan like that. So just want to make you aware of that is an additional funding source. We don't have the option of changing the classification of the road like the MPO would. They could make it a minor collector and be able to use federal aid money on it, or the county doesn't have that option. And lastly, we need to establish the funding source for this in order to program the project. Right now, I have it set as special funding, thinking it could have been possibly a TIF project or along those lines. But if we want to shift it to local funding or something, we need to start thinking about what our funding source is going to be for this if we want to keep it in 17.
Yeah, let me just say a couple things, my perspective on this, because I think it's important that as we talk this through, that we just stay really, really up front. First of all, I fully recognize the realities of what building a high school at the edge of a gravel road that attaches to a road that runs right to the major population area for the people that are utilizing the high school, what that means. It means that increased traffic and increased young drivers on this road. I am frustrated that the first time that the Board of Supervisors got to hear about it was right as the school was completed. And, oh, by the way, county, you need to spend $2 million to pave a road for us. That said, that frustration does not change the reality that this has happened. You know, it's happened, and we've got to figure it out. That said, Darren, I would like to underscore the S in funding sources to pay for this road, because I don't think it's as simple as one-stop shopping. I think the MPO and the opportunities that presents for us, we've got to utilize fully. I want to look at every possibility for special funding sources, which in my mind would include possibly a special assessment to the people that will be using that road. I don't even know if that's a possibility right now, but I want to dig into it and see if it's a possibility. I really struggle with TIF dollars being used for a project like this. I'm in favor of TIF. I support TIF for the right projects. I don't know that I support TIF for a project like this. And so I'm with you on identifying the special sources of funding and spreading it out as much as we can, as many different pots as we possibly can. I just don't happen to think that TIF is one of them for a project like this. That said, we've got to find the 150 sooner rather than later in order to continue planning, because I don't believe we need to shift this down on the calendar year. We need to keep it at 17, and we need to keep moving forward to be able to do something at 17. We just got a lot of work to do to get that done.
I just want to comment on your special assessment comment. That is an option for counties. It's rarely used. But in that point system I talked about with the DOT, there is a 10-point bonus section, and it's all based on special assessment. If you go through special assessment process, you get that extra 10 points. So,
well, and I understand that it's a unique thing, and it's something that Story County has never done and something I would struggle with doing normally, but this is a unique circumstance. This would be the only area in the county that would have three paved roads in a two-mile span, three paved roads in a two-mile span like that running through rural Story County. You go George Washington Carver, and you got Highway 69, and now we're talking about putting one on 530th. That is a special circumstance. The high school, to me, makes it an absolute special circumstance. The reality that they're getting ready to put in, what, 260 new homes just south of 190th Street over the next 3 to 5 years, just south of 190th Street, and all the young people that live there, not all, almost all the young people that live there will be attending Gilbert school system, and a lot of them will be utilizing this road, and it makes sense to me, especially if we do it up front. If somebody chooses to buy a home in that area and there's a special assessment to help pay off something that they primarily are going to utilize, well, in my mind, that's exactly the right way to do it.
The city of Ames is paving this construction season's last I heard. But they're able to do that through developer agreements and have developers pay for it. That's not something the county has the option of doing on our stretch. So it makes it more difficult for
the county. Could I ask, if Wayne or Paul agree with me, could I ask that you work with Jessica Reynolds and just really give us what the options are for these special assessment districts, what's been done in other counties, what it looks like? Because I think it's something that we've got to talk about if, in fact, we're going to leave this as part of our five-year plan.
Well, not only that, but is there any similarity between the residents in the area fundraising and adding some dollars, just such as the example we had here in Nevada and the road out to Country Club where they wanted to widen bike lanes? I think, again, if you talk about paving the road, it makes sense to include bike lanes and travel area there. And these, again, will be utilized primarily by the residents in that particular area. So, again, that could be added into part of the overall equation and have the property owners in that area hopefully do some type of capital or contribution to help defray some of those costs.
And that's also where the MPO could come into play, because a lot of comments on the bike trail connectivity through there. They could pay for the bike trail portion
right.
with the MPO funds, too. So that's
right.
Well, part of the problem you're going to have with a special assessment is it's going to be the property owners in that mile-and-a-half stretch, and there's probably relatively few property owners since it's all, other than a couple of houses, it's all agricultural.
Now.
And they're not really going to benefit from a paved road for the bike path.
Well, not only are they not going to benefit, they're going to be unhappy about it
right.
to start with.
Absolutely.
And so what I didn't know, Paul, and maybe you're educating me here, I didn't know if you could had no opportunity to extend the special assessment beyond, and I would think do it through the MPO, beyond just the area that you're paving or not, and I'd like to dig in and
right.
see if there's an opportunity to do that.
And I don't know about that for sure. I know
limited,
we looked at that a little bit on this bike path.
I think it's limited to a quarter mile or something. But.
Yeah, but even if you dig a quarter mile and you pull those, the I'm talking about the new houses that are going to be built there north of Ada Hayden Lake along what is Grant Avenue in Ames, and then it's Gretton Street up in Gilbert, and then
right.
it's 530th for us. But I'm just talking about those new ones that are coming in, because I like the idea. If you're going to do something like that, do it ahead of the time. Do it before anybody's purchased one of those homes. They know what it's going to be. They might not be happy about it, but they know what it's going to be. And I'm not looking for 100% of the funding. I just think we better be looking for multiple pots of money to be able to do a project like this.
I agree. I wanted to give you a quick update on accidents. Is a big concern out there. Just to give you an update on the latest crash data. This is where it kind of spiked back in 2005 and 6. We had 4 accidents and then 3. It's actually reduced, and 2014 is not showing any. I may have heard of one out there. It must not have gotten reported. Must have been minor. But accidents are reducing, and we're past few years, which is a good sign, but I think traffic is just going to increase.
And we did put stop signs on 180th, is that right?
Yeah. To stop east-west.
Stop.
Okay. Well, Darren, I believe that we need to leave this on the program where it sits. I believe that I like your idea of maybe putting 150 in the FY17 budget and just plan on doing some of the planning work right out of the gate in FY17. I don't like the idea of taking what is already a thin budget for FY16 and trying to find 150 more in there. That's where I'm, but I really want to leave this, you know, in 2017. On our 5-year plan.
Well, and then I would like maybe to get with you somewhat, and if you could just kind of help walk me through some concepts or ways that we could bring this before the MPO so that it's on their radar for consideration. I'd appreciate it.
Okay. And Darren, if it's part of your presentation later on, I only noticed one road that was in our 5-year plan last year that's not in our 5-year plan this year. Is that correct? Is just one?
Yep, that's my last comment on roads.
Okay.
The 600th was taken off after our last meeting with the DOT and the DOT commission. It sounded like it's pretty much a done deal. They're going to try to get it in the 19 and 20 to do the Highway 30 upgrades, which would add two interchanges, one at Nevada and the other out close to 580th, and then it would be limited access, meaning they would close off 600 to 590th to access. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to pave 600 if it's going to be a dead end.
Yeah, and that's just something in my mind. I agree with it rolling off the program. I just want us to all be aware that if something changes with DOT, we're going to need to address it again quick, and I believe we need to address some special maintenance on that stretch of road here for the next 18 months, 2 years, until DOT actually moves ahead. Because the reality is, I mean, I drive by there a couple times a day. I always see a truck,
coming
down or farm equipment, and that road is taking me. Darren, your guys are doing a great job maintaining that road, but I'd like us to look at all kinds of special options. I know you and I have discussed the asphalt millings that you used out there a couple years ago. That seems to really help for at least a short time, keep some of the dust down and hold everything together. I'd like us to look at all those possibilities, but I completely agree with it rolling off of the 5-year calendar.
Okay, we'll do that. That road also needs regraded, but we're also, it's getting widened out and the ditches are disappearing, so it's got some real muddy spots that we can't clean up.
Yeah.
We're kind of pushing that maintenance off too to see if the DOT is moving ahead with everything before we put too much money into that road. But we'll look at the millings this spring. It's due for rock again, so we can look at the millings this spring in lieu of the rock and then go from there.
Okay, outstanding. Mayor Pop, I saw you just walk in. We just finished the conversation on 5:30th, just before you walked in. We'll be glad to talk about it some more. But we appreciate Gilbert committing to pay for the whole thing. That makes it easy. Thank you, sir.
Okay, we'll move on to bridges. Just a general overview, 200 bridges over 20 feet and another 76 between 16 and 20 feet. Sufficiency ratings, these will be updated due to our recent bridge inspections, so these are a little outdated at this point, but we get $330,000 a year in federal aid bridge funding to put toward bridges. I just thought this was kind of interesting. This is a Washington Post recent article on dangerous bridges. The red areas are the most dangerous, and you can see we're generally in the 25 to 30% range on structurally deficient bridges in Story County, and that's getting into this redder color. But you can see the areas of the whole country that are struggling with bridges.
Let's just do the numbers real quick because I've gotten good at this. 282 bridges in Story County, 60%, more than 60% are more than 50 years old. We've got structural deficiencies on many of those. Right now, current funding streams that we have access to, it's almost 150 years of funding in order to replace all 282 bridges. Now, that's going to be helped a lot by the fuel tax that was just passed, and what that means to Story County is going to enable us to get that number down some. But the reality is, right now, we're battling 40 years of insufficient funding, and so we're behind the eight ball. Did I say all that? Close. Sure. I've been practicing.
I updated the age of the bridges chart here, so it kind of shows you. We have 23 bridges, 0 to 10 years old. So that means right now we're averaging 2.3 bridges a year for the past 10 years. We were doing 1.5 and just one bridge per year in the past 20, 30 years there.
And we need to be doing the six a year.
Yeah.
And that's not even catching up. I mean, we need to be doing six a year, and that doesn't even catch us up.
This is the problem down here, the 50 that are 100 years or older. And these are all the wood bridges. That's the time frame when the wood bridges were built, and those are the ones that don't last as long. These last longer because they used to build them out of concrete and steel, and they lasted longer, thankfully. But it gives you an idea of the ages. Skip through these. You've seen those graphs before. Wanted to touch on every 2 years we have the federal government requires inspections. We had some bridges that needed immediate attention from those inspections, and those are shown here. These two bridges needed to be closed immediately. This is the 248 that we'll discuss a little bit more later. This one, let's see, this one, and this one down here, we were able to do some real quick bridge repairs with our own crews. This is up the one up further north on 590th, and this is the one that was discussed at the Farm Bureau meeting. They had concerns. This gets a lot of farm traffic and ag loads on it. This just had one pile that was bad, so we went in, able to cut that off, so we had some existing good piling and splice in a new pile under that one with our own crews.
This and remind me, at the Farm Bureau, did we talk about the possibility of that becoming a farm to market? Was there another? Because they were talking about how they really do use that as a farm to market north south. And what is farm to market in that area right now? Is it 600?
It's a mile to the west, yeah. So it'd be 580th.
580th.
Yeah. So we could look at maybe shifting that whole road over.
Yep.
That's a possibility, but 580th has some bridges too, so.
Yeah, right.
This is the one over closer to Marshall County we had to close. Had a bad piling here, and you can see that hole right there. They started pounding on them, which they do during bridge inspections, and broke through it and found it's completely hollow. We're able to splice that one, a new pile in there, and the one on the outside edge, we did a more structural repair because it was holding up more of the back wall with this pile. We're able to get this bridge back open fairly quickly, and one pile on the opposite abutment. We did the same thing, spliced in a new pile there. You can do that if it has, you know, two or three bad pile, but when they all get bad, you're looking at replacement. This is the one down by Huxley. Again, this had two pile next to each other. We're able to do those concrete repairs on those and got all those bridges back open. There was four bridges. This one at West 190th. This is the one just north of Vetters. 19th Street, south of Nevada. Those three in particular had outside issues with the stringers on the outside, so we were able to restrict those. Most of these are in the program for replacement anyway, so we'll get by. This is West 190th.
That's the little bridge, right?
Little bridge.
We're not even talking about the big bridge yet on West 190th.
But this is going to be an expensive bridge just due to it's really a high bridge, and it's going to be probably $400,000. But we have it in FY17 right now. This should last until then. Most people didn't drive out here anyway. But that tells them those outside beams are really rusted and bad. This is 19th Street south of Nevada. We're able to just restrict one side, and this is in the program. I think just a year or two out, we added this. And this is on a farm-to-market route, so we're able to use farm-to-market funds to get this bridge replaced. And the other one was that one by Vetters, and it looks real similar to this one.
Now, Darren, when you talk about restricting, what basically does that do? Does that alert people in the area, particularly farmers with large, wide implements, that this route is not passable?
You don't want the wheel to go right over this because there's a beam right here that's bad. The other one's better, but outside ones get worse when they have steel beams because if you have salt in the area or something, it runs off and corrodes the steel much faster, but that just keeps the wheel loading from traveling over that beam. Once you get in here, it's on good beams. So you're
okay.
Fine.
Okay.
Just keeps that wheel path in.
So what are the issues with the one on 590th north of Vetters?
That one, it's a bit of a unique bridge because it has really large, these stringers are huge and they're long. That's why they're so big, because it's such a long span. And they bounce. It's such a long span, and those heavy loads make this thing bounce, and it knocks the rock off, and it makes it really rough on top. And it's hard to see in these pictures, but they're actually crushing all these beams on the
now,
loads.
Now, currently, all of these are load limited, right? And it's visible?
Yes. Yep.
And in addition to that, what other notifications do we give to the farmers and landowners in that area? Do we send out something else periodically to update them, reminder?
We don't send them anything individually. When we get that notification that it had to, this post is way down, I think, 3 tons. So we have to do that immediately. The federal government wants that done immediately, so we do that quickly. We did this repair, so we're able to bring this one back up to, I believe, 14 tons for the smallest truck.
And how far away is the notification?
There's one right at the bridge and then at the nearest intersection. Back.
The beginning of the intersection.
This is one right north of
Is this one north of Vetters?
This is north of the railroad track.
This is just south of E-29.
Oh, okay.
This is the one the Farm Bureau was talking about.
Okay.
One by Vetters. We're going to have to look at that one a little more detail this summer because if the DOT does close it down, that's going to be Vetters' only access. We'll have to make sure that thing can take the heavier loads are bringing the equipment in on the trailer.
Yeah.
And we can't close it and replace that bridge after the DOT closes theirs.
Closes theirs because there's no access at all.
Right. So we may need to add that one in before the DOT closes their stretch, but we're going to look into that this summer to make sure what kind of loading that can take.
Okay.
This is on Sand Hill Trail. We couldn't restrict this one any because it's already so narrow, but we were able to get by just lowering the posting on it. And this is a pretty long bridge. It's surprising when you drive over. You don't realize how long it is under there. So it's going to be fairly costly, and it's on a local route. But this might be another one we need to add into the program next year. But we want to look at it a little closer this summer again. But it's got steel beams, and outside two are rusting at a much higher rate than the middle ones. I think they added on to it at some point because these beams are actually not as deep. But that's the issue there, but we're able to get by with the posting for now. But I'm anticipating we're probably going to have to add that one in the program. And how do we go about adding bridge projects to the program? First of all, we want to make sure we have a good farm-to-market system. So we took a look at all the load-posted bridges we have on the farm-to-market route. This was a map from a year to 2 years ago. We had 19 bridges on here, and the yellow ones are the ones that were actually in the program. So within a year or two, we were able to knock 8 bridges out and replace them, so we're making some good headway on our farm-to-market route. And 4 of them are in the program, and these ones that are not, we've done recent repairs to, so they're in pretty good shape, but they just load posted a little bit, and they have a lot of life in them, so they won't be added probably for a while. We did add one right here, and that's one of the new bridge additions into the program. I'll get to that one in a second. But we're making progress at least on the farm to market route. This is a map of all the bridges that are in the program right now. The green ones were existing, and the red ones are the new additions. And if you look at your structure sheet in the length column, if it says new in there, those are the new additions to the program for this year. The first one was this one down on 670th. That was a late addition. We're actually letting that one next week's board meeting. We're going to let that project it kept getting washed out the back walls with the recent flooding, and then the piling finally split, and these back walls are really leaning in, so it doesn't lend itself to repairs. It needs to be replaced, and we're able to get a box culvert in here. So
good.
We're doing this as quickly as we can. The second one, yeah, that's this one here that I talked about adding. It's on the farm-to-market system, and that is a major through route through here. And we've already had comments from landlords in the area with semis having issues getting over it now. We had to load post it lower. It's another one of those steel beam bridges. It's a pretty long span, but the top flange of that steel beam is just almost disintegrated. Some of this has to do with there's a resident next door that puts calcium chloride down for dust control, and I think it's getting drug onto the bridge, and that accelerated the corrosion on that bridge. But that's one.
Can we go to culverts there as well?
Probably not. That one's probably too long. That's probably going to take a bridge. But it's all farm market money, which we have a pretty good balance right now in the farm market funds. Mm-hmm. Next one is over here north of between Huxley and Cambridge. It's one of those truss bridges. This is actually the narrowest bridge we have in the county. It's only 14 and a half foot wide.
Wow.
There's some newer homes being built out here, and I get a lot of comments on safety. And when it's dusty and you're coming up on a one-lane bridge, and we've had a lot of erosion on this bank over the past 5 years especially, and it's got a steep drop-off because it's a fairly high bridge. This is that bank that we have a lot of issues holding. But it's a 80, 90-year-old bridge. It's got its life out of it, but I think it's time to add this one to the program, mainly for safety issues. And then this one was one we had on our wish list for quite a while. This is the Skunk River Bridge up on 150th Street up here, one of the through routes that gets over the Skunk River in that area. One of the large trusses, it is posted. You can see the posting sign over here. This is a $1 million bridge, so I added it into the fifth year. It could get bumped and stay there a while, but we're at least planning for it at this point on replacing that bridge. And the last new addition is a smaller bridge, but it's one that happened to fall on a farm-to-market route. And there's a lot of posted bridges in this area, so I'd want at least one way to get across that's not load posted, and it's a fairly small bridge that could be replaced with a box culvert. So those are the new additions. Then we get into the last sheet is our kind of our wants. What this has kind of turned into is a listing of bridges that could possibly be closed when it reaches that point. And that first bridge, unfortunately, is the 248th bridge that we talked about. It's been on this list for a few years. We thought we'd be able to carry this one on longer just with load postings, but the recent inspections found some more issues, so we had to close that one. The last one is the only new addition to this bridge, and I just added, that's the longer bridge on West 190th, and that's just for discussion to add it to that list, saying it's possible we close this one depending on what we do with that road. We want to keep that one open until we get the smaller one replaced, so people have the detour out. But once that gets done, we need to discuss if we're going to close that stretch. Or
when do you have the smaller one on?
It's 17 now. We couldn't squeeze it in 16 because it's such an expensive, locally funded bridge.
Okay.
So it's in FY17 now. But all the rest of those stayed the same as once. Probably come back and talk about 248th in detail at the end so we can take some public comments and at that time.
Okay.
So I'll move on. These are all bridges that were already in the program, so I won't spend much time on those.
Well, as I say, pictures is worth 1,000 words for you when you see what's underneath and what the deficiencies are. I think it really brings it to home, the potential further erosion that is going to take place and if they're not addressed in a timely manner. And, you know, so what are your options? You either close the bridge access to that particular area, which means that people have to drive much further around to get to and from, whether they're farming it or just, you know, taking an alternate route to wherever they need to go. So,
yeah. Just a quick reminder, we did get that grant, federal grant, for about $170,000 to do some edge line painting that we kind of let go, which many counties are doing. We actually have a pre-construction meeting on that this afternoon, so that should happen before too long. So we'll get some more, actually mill these in and put more permanent paint, so it should last more than a year. Our regular paint only lasts one season. We got to repaint them every year. So that'll be done soon. And then just touch on rocks, always an issue. $800,000 is what we budget now per year for rock. And the reason I brought it up in the program, because I would just always like to remind the board that there is the option, this is our farm-to-market route map, there is the option of spending farm-to-market funds on rock. Something we haven't done for probably 25 years here, but the next balance sheet coming up here, I can show you all the balances. We do have a bit of a balance in the farm-to-market account. These are our three major sources of funding for construction: FM, farm-to-market, STP is the federal road funds, and BRS is the federal bridge funds. And these are the monies coming in, revenues. You can see the bump in FM from $250,000 to $310,000. That's due to the fuel tax increase.
Mm-hmm.
The farm-to-market account gets that additional money. STP, both of these funds are the federal monies right now, and it's just, we're not sure the future of that. Federal government's talking, latest I heard, they're maybe talking a 30% cut in those funds. The federal trust fund's broke, and they're not sure how they're going to fund it. So they'll put a lot of stock in this money being here in the future, but we really rely on it right now. These are the monies coming out of each fund, and then the balances of each one. We have a positive balance in the farm-to-market account right now. STP, again, out 2-3 years, it gets down to about a zero balance, and we kind of have an agreement at SERPA we don't borrow ahead too much in that fund. We are allowed to borrow ahead in the federal bridge fund 3 years, so you do see we go into the negative on that, not too far out, but that's actually encouraged to borrow ahead to show the feds we need this money and we'll spend it up front if we can.
Well, Darren, one of the things that when I was in D.C. for the LEDGE conference in March, when we talked to our congressional delegations about the trust fund and the need for extensive long-term funding stream, hopefully 5 to 6 years out rather than the constant reauthorization on a one-year basis that they've been doing for a number of years, really makes it difficult for counties to really plan ahead and know that there's a stable source of funding. And part of the challenges that our delegation told us was that one of the things that in the there are senators and folks who are trying to take away some of the flexibility, such as bike trails and bike paths and so forth, and maybe making it impossible to use some of those trust fund dollars for those purposes. And then there's also a kind of a shift priority towards more of the metropolitan areas. So making Iowa and a lot of our more rural communities really at a tremendous disadvantage. And of course our delegation is doing all they can, but I think the future for us in the trust fund is not nearly as good in terms of counting on the number of dollars that we've had. I do think that we're going to see over the next few years some reduction in dollars made available, and then we're going to have to start prioritizing, particularly if they put restrictions in terms of how those dollars can be used, because currently right now I think they have a little carve-out section that you can apply for your bike trails and other types of things. But I don't know if they're going to try to put legislation in that's going to bar any use of the trust fund dollars for that or not. So we'll just have to p- pay close attention to how that's moving along in Congress.
Yep. Before I go back to 248, just comment, this is the draft budget. We'll take any public comments over the next week. I do have it on the board agenda next Tuesday again for official approval. If we get a lot of comments, we could delay that one more week, but we got to have it in the DOT by the 15th of April. I'll just make some quick comments on the additional funding that kind of came in right after our budget season, so we didn't really budget for any of that next year even. But a few items. The legislature wants to see some projects done quickly to show mm-hmm. where this money's being spent. So we want to be a little careful on how we spend the money. They want to see especially bridge projects and road projects being done. The first project is the Hickory Grove Bridge. We had a $200,000 shortfall there. It may not have happened if we didn't know this additional money was coming in. So that's the first project I point to that's getting done because of this additional funding. Second, the grant right-of-way issue that probably be put in FY17 if we decide not to amend our 16 budget. That's another $150,000 we could spend there. We have some additional overlays to do on North Dakota. We're kind of doing that piecemeal out there, just getting that done. Plan on spending some more money on that next fiscal year in FY16, maybe $75,000 to $100,000 there to get that finished up. That's a much-needed project. We've had a lot of deferred maintenance on our pavements, a lot of crack sealing and slurry sealing that needs to be done. We could spend some money there. This is where you don't want to see the money spent, but we health insurance, we're seeing maybe an additional $250,000 out of our budget for that. We got to make up for that somewhere. That's going to have to factor in.
Yeah, but we're not using those dollars for that. We're using other dollars.
We're not using those dollars for it, but it affects our budget.
Right.
It does.
We didn't have a lot of say there. So, and same with the buildings. It was kind of bad timing. We're building some new outshops. I don't want that to look like we're spending this new money on outshops.
We approved those, and we found the funding before the road use. So I think you're dead on with the projects you're doing. I want to talk just a minute, if we can, Darren, about the draft five-year plan that you have presented here and see what, if any, modifications you might be comfortable with as we get into next week. First of all, on the road side, I think it looks great. I'm really, really appreciative. I appreciate that you've got 10 miles of resurfacing in for 2016. I think that's kind of a target number we need to be shooting for, and I really appreciate you putting it there. I think the projects that you have here are right. We need to keep the Gretton Road grant on the top of our radar, but we got to figure out how we're paying for it. I don't believe it's TIF funding. I don't think that's going to pass muster, but I do think there's opportunities to get it paid for, and we just need to stay on top of it. For the bridges, I'd like to really talk about pulling some of the farm to market forward that you have in out years. I'd like specifically to talk about, let's see, I had three here that I wanted you to look at pulling forward. I wanted you to look at 305th.
Which
I'm on bridges, Wayne.
Okay.
305th that you got in 17. I'd like to look at pulling that forward to 16. I'd like to look at 660th for Nald, pulling that forward to 16. And I'd like to look at the 170th Street Milford that you've got all the way out in 20, seeing if we can pull that forward to 16. Those are all direct results of a little extra money coming in. I believe, I appreciated the chart, I appreciated all of what you showed, but the pictures you showed of where we were a couple years ago in bridges on our farm-to-market system and where we are today, and I think especially with looking at what our balances are in the farm-to-market, it makes a lot of sense to pull especially some of these smaller projects forward and get them done. And so I'd just like you to take a look at it.
I agree. The one that, the 305th one, that's going to be a full-blown bridge.
Okay.
That's about a year design project that we don't even have surveyed yet. So that will be difficult to get in 16 is why it was put in 17 to see what.
So maybe just the other two?
If we can fit box culverts in there, we can kind of get those designed and let a little quicker than we can.
Start those. What sheet am I looking at?
Yeah, so I asked him, Wayne, about this one, and he says that one you can't do because it's too much planning. And then I asked him about this one right here.
Okay.
And this one right here.
Okay, great. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Yep.
And my rationale, Wayne, is we've got a substantial budget in the farm to market.
Right.
That farm to market system, and specifically the bridges on those are the ones we rely on most to be able to handle the heavy loads. And I believe we need to pull forward as much as we can, maintaining our balances. And so would you mind just going back and taking a look at that and seeing what we can pull forward?
Yep, can do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Really would like to see us have a so I really appreciate, and I know it's not an exact science, Darren, I get it, but I really appreciate the 10 miles of paving projects. Just the way my mind works, if we do 10 miles a year, we're able to keep pace with our 210 miles roughly of paved roads over time. For me, bridges, we better be targeting 8 to 10 bridges a year.
Yeah.
In order to start to make some headway on catching up.
Spent a lot of this summer identifying more bridges on the local system that we can bring in now because of the road use tax.
Right.
Exactly.
Wasn't on our radar last fall, so.
So, Board, if you're okay, I'm just going to ask Darren to go back and
sure.
take a look at those
yeah,
and
more
see
information
what's possible
to
pull forward.
Back.
We can
yeah.
talk about next week.
Yeah.
And if you're
yeah.
done, now it's time to talk about 248.
Right.
Yep. Go back to that. I'll show you a few pictures first of the bridge out there. These are the issues we knew already from the flooding in the past couple of years. This center pier in particular had this piling in really bad shape. It's pretty much 0% affected now. It's rotten all the way up in here. We were looking at splicing a new one in there, but that's really not an option. This one you can see is bad too, and this one's starting to go. So that whole pier has a problem.
When did we pour the concrete ice break on the front of that pier?
I can't tell you for sure. I do know this bridge was built 80 years ago. 40 years ago, it shows a reconstruction, which I assume is this widening here.
Okay.
And I imagine that's when that took place. I don't know for sure. This is one of the things that showed up in inspections this winter. This is the cap at the end. This is where all the beams sit on. It takes all the loading. That measuring tape sticking inside that cap 3.5 feet, it's just completely rotted out on the inside, and it's starting to crush. So that was this cap. Just give you an overview. It's a four-span bridge, so there's three piers in here, and each pier has its own issues. Had a lot of scour. You can see it's...
Is that actually leaning, or is it, I'm just looking at it kind of weird?
Well, that's debatable. I think there's portions that are leaning a little bit, not quite as bad as what the picture shows. It's hard to see in that picture.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's kind of scoured. Mm-hmm. This pier, starting to scour this pier, and there's holes behind the back wall. This is that cap that's starting to crush. The top of this cap on the other side, all the bearing pads of wood, they're all rotted out, and it's not even sitting on anything. This is the bad piling here. I do believe this is starting to lean. The reason the bridge is now closed is this right here. That is completely rotted, 0%, and that's only thing that's supporting that widening. They said that they've noticed that cap starting to settle. I don't know if that's causing this to lean a little bit. You can see all the protection plank that's been ripped off. That was all protected with planking, but now that's all gone. The far abutment. That's a picture of that pile. The reason for the actual closure of that pile is pretty much non-existent at the bottom. And then the far abutment's got issues. This pile here has got major insect damage. It's really rotted. You'd pretty much have to disassemble this whole bridge to fix all these piling issues. And an 80-year-old wood bridge, that's just really not feasible. to me, you're either looking at a replacement or closing this permanently. Go back to the landowners in the area. Here's the bridge right here.
Okay.
I have received some comments previously, both for and against closure. First one, originally when we closed this, we did receive a call real quickly afterwards from landowners just on the east side over here. But their main comment was this road gets so little traffic, they use it to walk and walk their dogs and wanted to make sure if they could be able to walk down here in the future. So we let them know, yeah, they'll at least be able to walk down the bridge. Whether we leave the bridge open to walking traffic or not is something we could discuss. So we heard those comments right away from this landowner, and then let's see, Patrick Clem lives right over here. He called and sent an email in just as a taxpayer, property owner, and frequent user of 248. He would like to see it reopened at some point in the future. He does have access to Highway 30 right here. His main point is he felt like he paid taxes and he felt it was a scenic route and he liked to take it sometimes where he was coming from. Also talked to Steve McDonald, lives right here. He has access to Highway 30. That's his main access. He actually got an easement across somebody else's property to get access to 248, so he doesn't have legal access. I don't know if it's a legal easement or not, but he does have a driveway built to get to 248. I don't believe he has farm ground anywhere here, but he does use it to get to his farm ground. I'm not sure where it is. And then Mr. Naughton stepped in yesterday. Did you plan on talking?
Mm-hmm. I can't hear
words. Do you want to comment on the bridge? Okay, I'll just let you comment for yourself then. Frank McLean is also here, correct? Still here, Frank?
Mm-hmm.
Is the property owner right here. He is for foreclosure of the bridge permanently. And received a call from, or an email from, I believe is his brother, Fred, also for closure of the bridge permanently. We do have a couple of other landowners. We have a home right here. I've not heard from Carthrudes and another property owner here.
I'm here.
You are here,
okay.
Rick? Okay. And then Nathan Collins just owns the farm ground in here. Have not heard from Collins.
Where does Collins live?
Or where? Believe, there's a Collins that lives up here, but it's not Nathan. I'm not.
It's agricultural land.
Yeah. Okay. What I'm curious about is how he's getting in and out right now. Was he coming across that bridge, or is he coming from the north, or? Just interested in how he's currently accessing his ground.
Well, when they harvest, they come off of 30 and past our house and come in that way.
Yep.
And they leave
okay.
That way.
Thank you.
But yes, they live to the east there.
I'm just wondering.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And let's have that discussion when you guys are at the microphone so we can get it recorded.
Record it, yeah.
Give you a feel. This is McLean's again. They own a lot of this farm ground. You get down into here, this is Carmar Farms, and which I believe is Hertz Farm Managed Farms that ground. And they have a little farm ground down at the bottom area. That's all pasture ground, but there's a little bit farm down there. And that's the majority of the landowners and who I've heard from thus far. I think if we did close it, this road, of course, is going to still need to be maintained and snow plowed on a regular basis like we do now. This stretch may not need to have snow cleared because there's no residents to live on it currently. But there is a turnaround right here for this side. We'd be able to turn a motor grader around.
What's our to the west side of Indian Creek, what's our furthest east house? So closest to the bridge. Who's closest to the bridge but on the west side? Rick, you are?
I will be,
yeah. You will be. Are you, you're building?
Building this year.
Darren, can you point to where you think he's building?
Here, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And where's your access going to be?
It's about in the middle, right about there. Right here.
Okay, thank you.
And just throwing the comment, yeah, this bridge will be starting construction on that here in a couple months. So we will have a new bridge down here to get Hertz Farm Management access through that area. And I have not heard from Hertz on how they felt about that bridge. But when we had that whole discussion on whether we were to do this bridge or not, they agreed this was the more important one.
We had talked about not doing anything with this one and refurbishing or rebuilding the one on 248,
right,
which would have meant a lot more traffic on 248.
Right.
Right? I mean, I remember us having the kind of either-or conversation.
Yeah, I think initially we thought we could get by with the bridge on 248.
I thought we'd get more years out of it than
we did. We thought we'd get some use out of it yet, but then that's not the case. So,
all right. Any other questions for Darren? And then let's take some comments.
Okay.
No. Thanks, Shelley. First comment sheet I had is Frank and Cynthia McLean. We saw where you guys live. Please come up, have a seat, and share with us your thoughts. Absolutely.
Light doesn't work. Just make sure that it's on. Thank you.
So please start by introducing yourself and giving your address.
We are Frank and Cynthia McLean. We live at 658-68 248th Street. We own 14 acres, which includes the pond across from us. So 248th Street goes right between our home and the pond that we own. As Frank said, I sat and wrote notes, but Mr. Moon's, your presentation and everything else that I see that happens to you on a weekly basis, This is a no-brainer. You have got so many other things to spend money on. There's three of us that are permanent residents on 248. Most of the other traffic that we have is people going to Hickory Grove. And we can see their evidence with the Busch light cans. So to me, other than the postal, the lady delivering our mail, she'd have a problem. But if that means we're getting a post office box, we'll do it. There's no question in my mind to close this bridge. None.
Thank you.
And we have farm ground in the vicinity of Mr. Clem's, very close to them. So that would be a logical route for us to go. But when the 250th Street Bridge was closed, the Hickory Grove traffic started routing. The ones that don't use the paved road started going past our place. They go around the curve, accelerate past our property about 60 miles an hour.
No kidding. 60 miles an hour.
We think it's a hazard to our animals and our grandchildren primarily. Second thing, when you see the pictures of the bridge, if you take a head off of a combine, you can still cross that bridge. If you can picture a 50,000 pound combine crossing that, then picture it, if you're antsy like I am and you have two-thirds of a load of grain on it that you're trying to finish up, you'll cross it with a part of a load on it too, and it's just an accident waiting to happen.
Oh yeah.
So there's a very good paved road that goes by the RV center and the golf course, mm-hmm. that gives perfect access to Hickory Grove Lake. I also farm on adjacent to 250th. For 41 years I've been there. There's a huge amount of traffic that uses that road because it's a straight shot to Hickory Grove, and I just don't think it's a good use of the taxpayers' money to keep it open, and that's that's really all I have to say.
Thank you. Well, thank you. I appreciate
you. My question is, you mentioned the term access, and how generally do you all work toward making sure that when we close a bridge because of it obviously has to be done, is this something that you have to work out with your local neighbors, or do you find just an alternate access route to get to and from the areas that you're farming? What is the process basically that you have to deal with whenever we close something like this?
Well, the farmland, we have farmland that's adjacent to Hickory Grove Lake.
Okay.
My family has three parcels that are kind of split by 248th and then the paved road, which I can't tell you what road that is. We just go around Highway 30 and get used to just, I have to deal with Highway 30 traffic with farm machinery. And so that's just, instead of going through that bridge, we go along Highway 30, take the same paved road that you're speaking about, and then to get to the piece that's by the Dye Creek Bridge on 248th, I just use the gravel road coming from the paved road to the west, if that makes any sense.
Sure, right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're not landlocked on it. The Hertz's ground that comes up, which would be on the south side of 248th, they own the whole, they own from 250th to 248th. The Collinses go by our gravel road when they farm the piece that's where they're, I believe it's a rental property that where Karstrud used to own the land. They go by our place when they, and it's like 35 or 40 acres. When they harvest it, it takes them 3 to 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think that bridge was fine when we had a 40-20 and a six-row planter with a huge machinery that all of the neighbors use anymore. It's just, it was also, the benefit of being around a long time is that bridge was damaged in 93 and closed for a short term. And I think, a log jam that piled up against where the water was literally almost to the top of the bridge and bent some of the beams on it that I just think it's got a history of having damage to it. And, mm-hmm. and I know there's other opinions on this, but Cynthia and I feel strongly about it.
Clearly. And we appreciate you being here and sharing those feelings. Thank you.
This is really very interesting.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. Next I have, Rick, I'm not even going to try your last name. You can do it.
I can't understand why these Ricks come up with these bad last names that nobody can pronounce, huh?
I'm Rick. Can you hear me?
Yep.
I'm Rick Zroslik, and I'm the landowner at 66609, which is the property just to the north and west of the bridge. Currently, I live in Ames, but we're planning on building a house out there this summer. We've got a shed out there now. The reality is I'm only concerned about a couple things. I think I can support a permanent closure of the bridge. I do have two young daughters that I need to get on a school bus, and there's no great place to turn a school bus around. Mm-hmm. So I haven't talked to anybody at the school district yet, but that's one of my concerns. The other thing is there's a pretty good hill going down that basically fills up with snow in the wintertime. And so getting that cleared out, I appreciate Mr. Moon's comments about having to maintain the road. That's my biggest concern is, can we keep it maintained? Talk with somebody at Secondary Roads, they said, well, you're kind of out the end of essentially a no man's land out there. There's no direct access, so there's no good route to get a road maintainer down through there. So, what kind of priority and timeliness are we going to get to getting the road plowed open? That would be a concern in the wintertime.
And distance from the next roadway access would be approximately what for you?
To get... I'm at the end of the dead end, so
again, okay.
So I'd have to basically go by the McLean's.
Okay.
So it's about a mile and three quarter, I think it is, to go out that route. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
if we were to close this bridge, is it feasible to make some sort of a turnaround or some sort of an access? Because you're going to have to get a maintainer down at least past where this gentleman's going to build. And if, you know, is there any feasibility in some sort of a turnaround for a maintainer that a school bus could use?
We've done that before along the interstate, those dead ends. We've built wider turnarounds for buses.
Okay.
That's something that could be done without too much.
Okay.
And talk just a minute, since Rick had the question. Clearly, in my mind anyway, clearly this would not be at the top of our list in terms of moving snow in that district. Where would it fall, and what's a reasonable expectation from a snow event to us actually getting a grader back there?
I'm trying to picture the route, and I mean, generally they work their way from one end of their route down to the
right.
The motor grader district. They have 70 miles, so they have a huge district, so I don't see it changing that much. It's either going to be at the beginning or the end of his route, wherever he chooses to go that day.
And so then I'll just ask the McLeans anecdotally, how long is it from a snow event before you see one of our graders come by and move the snow?
Very good service.
Very good? Okay. So that's as good an answer, Rick, as we can give you.
Yeah. And certainly when I talked to somebody, he said, you know, if we're not getting it plowed out, certainly give them a call. So I certainly have no qualms about that. There's certain some things I can do. I know that the topography of the land right there, it just dumps snow. I built the driveway on the bottom part because of the sightline requirements for a driveway. I can get access through a field entrance to the west, which would basically bypass where that snow dumps. So I can certainly look at planting a windbreak or putting up some temporary snow fencing to try to get that snow to drop earlier. I just don't have enough equipment if I've got to get myself out to basically go through some of the big drifts that tends to pile up there.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Outstanding. Okay. Anything else?
No. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. And then, I don't have a card. Dave, I know you came to see us. You commented earlier on Heartland Senior Services in HRDA. Now talk to us about this bridge.
Okay.
Right at the microphone so we can all hear you.
My neighbor. Yeah, he doesn't know that my great-grandfather bought that land in 1898.
Wow.
I bought the land right next to it.
He knows it now.
Was there a Christmas tree farm out there, Frank, at one time?
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll say it again. My name is Dave Naughton. I live, I've got about 12, 14 acres on the east side of the creek, own part of the creek, too, I guess.
East part, okay.
And I'm not bothered by, because I can get out real quick and go to the highway and all that kind of stuff. But I love the nature, okay, down there and the scenic and all that kind of stuff. Because we're probably about the fifth largest area, plus the property I got next to me, in a county that outside of state parks and county parks and all that stuff. So nature, everything that's natural in the state of Iowa is in our area. All the trees, the eagles, birds, all that kind. So it's actually a preserve, and the conservation people come out and looked at it. My concern, and I know the bridge is crappy. I've been over there and looked at it, and it's disgusting, is flood control. And they mentioned the logs piling up, you know, along the, and yeah, they're, wow. And that backs up further north. And I guess my concern is if they tear that out, then all that logs that are piling up, are they going to go downstream?
Sure. Until something
stops. I don't know.
Stops.
And if they do, is it going to be a worse flood than we've got now? Because I know it's going to back up. I would like to see, my wife works for the DNR. Mm-hmm. She has for 11 years. I'd like to see a flood analysis of the effect of doing something there to maybe, or some other way to, because when that thing floods, it's right under the bridge.
Oh yeah, well it's impacting the way that we've had to design the one down on 250th.
Right.
I mean, the way we lost that bridge was it was basically a debris pileup, right, that then got pushed push the pilings all the way out and knock the bridge down.
Yeah.
And so it's a very real concern. Yeah. I'm not sure what, if any, impact one bridge would have on the flooding of the area. Darren, you got any thoughts at all on that?
Well, so it's going to have to do with whether we leave the bridge in place or not. And I think that was the original discussion, is maybe just leaving it there for now to see if people use it for walking traffic or not. We could leave it. We put those space signs so people couldn't drive anything over it, but if you wanted to walk across it, you could. From a flood standpoint, we've had to, like you said, when we get those big backups of debris on there, we actually take an excavator out there, which it's not a job I'd want to do.
Yeah.
It's a little scary, and have to dig some of that out just to save the bridge. But
question, Jessica's here, our civil attorney and so forth, and when you have your signs, it's closed, you've got the barricades up there currently now. What liability to the county exists if somebody just decides that they're just going to ignore that and try to either move a part of it or go around?
we like we do south right now, we put in 4 or 5 posts in the ground with those signs.
Okay.
So you'd have to actually bend those posts over and drive over them to get a vehicle across the bridge. Whether you walk around it or not, that could be the liability question I would have, if we'd allow people to walk on it or not.
And are there, well, I mean, right now in your best guesstimate, is it appears to be safe for just foot traffic.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. Well, it's a good question. We don't have to make a decision today as far as this one's concerned, but I think that we need to gather as much as we possibly can to try to look at the minimum impact to the residents in that area and how they will use it, but also the overall safety and for the potential liability that could happen if we, you know, don't do something, either the closure or making sure that there are alternate avenues for people to access, you know, their occupation.
Yep.
We generally get our full bridge inspection report in June, so I'd expect sometime in June I'd come forward with the resolution that has all the posting changes and closures on that, and that's for you to officially close this if you decide to go that route.
To Mr. Naughton and the McLeans and Rick, would it be helpful for us as a county engineer at some point? I know we haven't heard from all the people that are using in that area, but if we set up a meeting someplace in that area, invite them in the evening, be able to show again some of the challenges that we're dealing with. You know, I think the more information that could be made available helps our engineer, helps us, helps the general public, you know, understand what we're really dealing with and talking about here. It's not a real simple, you know, solution here without having some major impacts to how it's been used over the years. And I'm just wondering if you thought that something like that may be beneficial for us to consider as well.
Yeah. The pictures and the checkbook that shows where the money is. Dave, thank you very much. Darren, I would say something that Mrs. McLean said really resonates with me, and that is, you know, sitting up here, we don't get a whole lot of no-brainer decisions. There's lots and lots of trade-offs. This for me is a conversation we had when we were talking about the 250th Street Bridge. That was not a slam dunk to rebuild. We talked about utilizing the 248th Street Bridge to relieve some of that east-west traffic, made the final determination that we were going to do the 250th Street Bridge, which instead of being a $700,000 project now is a $900,000. Is that about right, roughly?
800.
So, but it's $200,000 more than we expected, right? We don't have enough money. We've got bridges in terrible disrepair, and while, you know, I'm a big fan of Christian Clem, and I appreciate that he is a taxpayer and The idea that we would keep a bridge open simply because of scenic, because occasionally we like to drive over it and see the scenery, we got a lot of bridges we got to have, and we can't afford to do them all. And, Darren, from my perspective, I would like to see us move ahead with going through the public process. And, Wayne, you're 100% right, very public, open process of closing this bridge down and leaving it closed. We need to have the conversation about whether it remains a pedestrian bridge or we just get it. I'm concerned about the liability of that, because you look at that thing, it's coming down. We just don't know when.
Right.
I'm concerned about that, but I think we need to have that full conversation, and we need to move down the road. Rick, you're just going to have to work with us if we move down that road, on because it'll be a new system for us, getting our graders back in there. It'll be new for the bus drivers. I'm sure there'll be some hurdles that we'll have to overcome as you build your new house out there. And Dave, we're with you on conservation. We want to see. It is kind of a nature preserve down in there. Yeah. We the money we're spending right now on Hickory Grove and that entire area to clean up some of the water quality issues, it's a big deal to us.
Yeah.
And so we'll work with you every step of the way to make sure long term that's ready to go. But I don't think long term this bridge being a vehicular bridge is in our best interest. I don't think it's something we can afford, and I think we need to move ahead with having that conversation openly and publicly so that we can get some people here. You know, we're fortunate today we've got people here who agree with us. We need to make sure we reach out to the people.
That's not always the case.
That's not
just say the word that we're closing it down, and we'll have a room full that don't like it very much. Is that enough for you?
Yep. There's no need.
Anybody else have any comments on this issue before we move on? Very good. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Paul.
I'll pass.
Wayne.
I'll pass.
Public forum number two. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. Board can't take any action due to the open meeting requirements, but we may do so in the future. Anybody? All right. Seeing no one moving, any announcements? Paul.
Pass.
Wayne.
Just the MPO meeting tonight I plan to be at, and I understand tomorrow there will be a meeting, joint meeting with Conservation and Planning and Development. I've got it on my calendar, so I'll try to attend that as well. So.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Wayne. Pass. Yeah. If there's nothing else, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.